Welcome to Keep Moving Forward, a podcast dedicated to church revitalization, replanting, and the church in general. Each week, we look at issues within the revitalization movement, as well as interview pastors and leaders involved in revitalization. So now, please join us for this week's discussion. Okay, welcome back to Keep Moving Forward. Natalie and I are laughing. You just missed it. You know, like how you hear these other podcasts and somebody, they have a conversation. You just missed it. Like, we had noises going on during testing that sounded like other types of noises, and we just couldn't stop laughing with it. So, anyway. I'm John McKinnon of Legacy Church in Sutton, Massachusetts.
And I'm Natalie McKinnon.
And welcome back to our fourth-ish episode of Keep Moving Forward.
It's going to take a little while to get used to saying
that. Yeah, actually, it's the third.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the third, honey. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, anyway.
You're a little bit tired.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Things are keeping me up at night, but that's the life of a pastor. Anyway, today we're going to be talking. We're jumping right into the subject today. We're jumping into vetting processes. Now, I'm not even sure. I got to look up the correct spelling before I put this up.
Right,
but,
definitely.
The vetting process, as you know, if you don't know, a vetting process is where you have a certain period of time and a certain way of bringing people on board.
Process.
Yeah, process of bringing people on board to serve.
Right.
And in some cases, vetting processes can get overbearing.
Right.
In other cases, they're just too light and right. Not enough.
Well, I think what's expected needs to be very clear.
Yes.
You know, for the person coming in and also for your congregation and your leaders so they know exactly what's expected of the person. So if they see that person, that, you know, what if the person's acting one way to the pastor mm-hmm. in the leadership, and then behind their back, they're acting another way, and the pastor doesn't hear or see that conversation or that behavior. So I think the congregation needs to be very well aware of what that process is.
Yep.
And to know that they can come to the pastor about that.
And we're gonna get into little personal details, and we're not gonna get into gossip territory, but we're gonna describe how something recently at our church came up in that regard that made us really rethink this whole thing and really where this episode goes. But you know, in a church, especially in a revitalization, you want to have people serve.
Absolutely.
And you have people that want to serve. Some people come right in, and that's their thing. I want to serve right away. And so,
well, I think jumping too quickly is one of the biggest problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you're in a revitalization, you're lacking. Sometimes the you do sometimes lack the resources, but the people.
Yep.
Or the people that you have might be older, so they can't have the energy and the strength, or even the gift into. Then you have situations where the person wants to hold a position, but it's not the right position for them to hold.
Right.
You know?
So,
So I think if you do it too quickly, that's very dangerous.
Yeah, if you do it too quickly, it can be detrimental
yes.
to a church. And so we've come up with three, and I know everybody's going to have a different vetting
right.
process, but for us, over the last several months as we've gone through this, we have developed three stages of vetting, or three levels of vetting, if you will. I don't know if that's the proper term.
I don't think it would be stages.
But it depends on where a person wants to serve and how long they've been in the faith. Now, you have the first one.
Well, like you said, I think the first thing would be a person who is put into a position too quickly.
Right.
That's the first one. You know,
well, we got to remember what Paul tells Timothy. You know, you don't want to put, like, you don't want to put a baby Christian, a new Christian, into like a pastoral position because it's not the right.
But then you have a situation where you could have a mature believer come into the church, and you know, there still needs to be a process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have people that could sit there and say, "Well, I've been going to church my whole life." And their behavior doesn't match up with their, you know, what they're saying.
All right. So
if you have a person that then comes in and they're a mature believer and they want to serve right away, you know, it's one of those things that find an entry level position that you could have them do. You know, because when you're faithful in little things, then you can give them bigger things to be faithful in. So say, you know, you could help even with, I guess, AV. You know, maybe AV, they could be part of the first impressions team as like a greeter, either inside or if you're, you know, a church that has a lot of parking and you need a parking attendant, that's, mm-hmm. but they're also greeting too, so they're interacting with people. If it's a lady that say, "Oh, I don't want to do greeting, but I love working in the kitchen," plug her into that spot, you know. Hey, we have coffee and conversation, you could help the ladies set up, or we have a big event coming up, a dinner, help with that.
Right.
So it's definitely those positions that allows them to serve, but it's not like being an elder, a deacon, a teacher, or something like that.
Right. And I think that becomes the big thing is also in that kind of level, you have people that come to the church that may not have accepted Christ, but I've heard this from a number of teachers out there is it should not deny them the ability to serve. Like if they have the heart to serve, you don't know if that's going to be the gateway to them accepting Christ.
Right.
So you want to be able to give them something to do on that entry level, low hanging. I know we were discussing this before and I was calling it low hanging entry level positions.
And then you have the person that might come to the church. He might be a strong believer. And you don't give them a position. And you wait too long.
Right.
And then they're kind of waiting, going, like, maybe they don't want to be too forward. They're waiting for you to approach them. And then you don't approach them because you're like, "Oh, there's a process." Yes, there needs to be a process. But I think if you wait too long, you could kind of lose them.
Right.
And then they're going to be like, "Well, yeah, I liked it, but I'm just waiting around and no one asked me to,"
mm-hmm.
and now they feel like they're wasting their gifts and talents there.
Right. And I think like one thing that we had in that process was we had no worship leader for a while. Our original worship leader had moved on and we were doing video music. We had a family start coming to the church, musically gifted, the husband and wife. And wanted to know about, you know, is this church ever going to have a worship team? And it was one of those things where I think to a point you could sense them getting antsy, like, is this ever going to happen? Is this ever going to happen? But they had talked to us and we had said, yeah, you know, we'd love for you to come on board and do this, but it really took some time to be able to do this. And when it did, it was probably right at the tip of when we could have lost them. But they came in, they did the worship for a while. And then, you know, down the road, we did get our current worship director. And the team is ever evolving. And, you know, I'd love to see everybody that's musically inclined get together. But right now, it just isn't working. And, you know, down the road, who knows what that's going to look like. But it's in those cases that you have to talk to the people. You have to keep the dialogue going. Let them know that you haven't forgotten about them let them know that the thing is still going on. It's kind of, I'll throw this in. It's kind of like you're going to have people on the first thing that you were talking about, you know, somebody who's doing AV may be gifted themselves musically.
Right.
And they're wondering, like, am I ever going to get a chance? And it's important to have the dialogue, talk to them, let them understand what's going on so that you know, they know that you haven't forgotten about them, but that they have to wait.
And I think, too, you know, those that are running a ministry needs to be aware of those that come into the church that have giftings in different areas. So it's not just the pastor and, like, the elders or whatever, but it's a different ministry leader. So they're aware that so-and-so is over here wanting to get involved in the music or wanting to get involved in children's, and that they're not waiting for us to ask them. They take the initiative and they go up and say, hey, I heard that you were interested in the music ministry. Would mm-hmm. you like to, you know, join the team or, you know, volunteer occasionally and then kind of transition them into that role?
Right. And I think that then leads to where stronger vetting processes have to come in.
Right.
Because, you know, the one thing that I think one area where churches fail in a revitalization is they can want something so quickly and not be ready for it. It's kind of like the old saying of, you know, you want a lot of people quick, but if you don't have enough people to disciple those people, it's going to be all for naught. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you have people who come in and they're willing to serve and they want to serve and they're willing to do everything they can to serve. But if they're not able to serve right away, you could lose them. But you do get those people that you don't properly vet. It's kind of, I guess, like the best example to say is this. In our current age, and I know we got plenty of time right now to talk about this.
Okay.
In our current age, the one thing that everybody talks about with children's ministry is make sure the people are, you know, you do the criminal background check, but mm-hmm. a lot of people forget that in some states, and our state is one of them, you also have a sexual offender registry.
Right.
So we Corey and Sorry right. in our state, and that is an important integral part.
Right.
Why? Because you could have a clear criminal record.
Right.
But because certain states do the twofold thing, the sexual offenses aren't going to show up on a criminal record.
Yep.
And so that's where our state has it. You have to be double sure. For people who want to be vetted, you know, think of people who want to teach adult Sunday school. Even I think children's, to a point, we have to be very careful with that too. But the children's ministry, and especially if they're going to serve in a role that would make them a deacon or elder, somebody with high regard. Now, we know that there is a process already in the Bible about that, but many times...
I have a question mm-hmm. that I was just thinking. Is there a specific time frame that a pastor should... put in for, say, like an elder?
That is the thing. I think for us, we thought we had enough time. So I'm gonna go into a little bit of details here since we got time. So recently at our church, and I know some people that have listened to the podcast for a while, they've heard this, but so we recently a few months ago had our elder resign. Our elder resigned, we could say for personal reasons, but there were some other factors there that kind of gave us red flag warnings. And it was like one of those things where as this person left, I guess the thing to say is this person started trying to put blame on me for the church not growing during the last few years. And really, I don't know quite how to put it besides that, but just really the way that they were doing things, mm-hmm. it made you question. Now, what ended up happening is in the time since that, a number of people within our church, a number of people who have left our church, and a number of people who we friended who were kind of, I don't know where to put them, but they were almost like regular attenders for a while, but they were going between our church and another church and everything. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of color that came, or a lot of shade that got thrown, where we came to realize that there was a lot of hidden sin and different things going on. And so we needed to really re-examine our vetting process in that, because, you know, this person had served for a year as a deacon, and then
and the person also had served at his other church for a very long
for 35 years as a
deacon. So it's not like he came in as a new believer either, right. You know.
So that's where, you know, it really, I think what we needed to do, and I, this is where we're going forward now, is if we're going to call anybody to a deacon or elder's position, and I know there are people that would sit there and say, why do you have both positions? The Bible tells you to have both positions.
Right.
but if we're going to have people serve in those roles, we're going to do a longer vetting process. We're going to make sure that, you know, the people are talking to them. We're going to talk to people. We're going to, you know, really see how the person is in hospitality.
And I think, too, you know, it's one of those things that you kind of can ask, gauge the congregation to say, what do you think of this person?
Yeah.
Like, you know, in your interactions with that particular person, what do you think of that person, their character?
And I think that's really what goads me a little bit, because, you know, we live in New England, and so we were discussing this earlier. We're in a heavily Catholic area.
Right.
Most new believers have come from Catholic backgrounds. And in the Catholic Church, there is the do not question the priest mentality.
Right.
And it seems like that carried over. In fact, we met with a family a couple of nights ago, where they even revealed some stuff to us, and one of the family members had said that exact point. Like, you grow up Catholic, you don't question those in authority because it's like going against God,
right?
And you know that,
and of course, you know, as a pastor, you can't be everywhere all the times.
Right.
You know, the pastor's wife can't, any ministry leader can't be everywhere all the time. So someone has a bad interaction with someone, and that person says certain things, and it never gets back to the pastor's ears.
Exactly.
You know, and then all of a sudden the person leaves, and you're like, what happened? And then you're scratching your head going, why, first off, why didn't that person go to that person and deal with it biblically? And two, why wasn't it brought to our attention?
Right. So, you know? if we're gonna say why we're doing this episode, it's because of this situation that came up.
Well, you live and you learn. You know, it's one of those things that you, hindsight being 20/20, you look at the situation and you go, okay, you know, the things that we can improve on, mm-hmm. do better. It's a learning process.
And I mean, you know, I'll give this much for people where, you know, they might be wondering, because let me say this. We have been doing everything to let God. We believe God grows his church. He gives us gifts and talents to work as his agents in that change, to work as catalysts for the change of the church. So it really became an issue for us where we were doing things and a lot of the stuff, you know, like, if I'm honest, and I'm not playing any what-if games, but the thing was we had about 15 to 20 individuals over the time of this elder's run come into the church and really show interest. In fact, it's one of those things where you're wondering if he wasn't here, what our church could look like. That's about the only what-if game I'll play right now. But it was one of those things where it came down to this person really abusing their power. And I think that's why we're doing this episode. You know, Natalie's giving me this look like, don't, but we have to be honest. Pastor, if you're not doing what you're supposed to make sure that these people are really doing, really have the heart of mm-hmm. the Savior.
Right.
You're doing a bad job. Now, for us, we were blinded because nobody was telling us. This person was meeting with us and always, you know, yes, Pastor.
But here's the thing. The person was very supportive of you for 2.5-3 years.
Right.
You know, it's hard when a person can, they say everything, they do everything that they need to do.
But at the same time, as right. we came to find out, and this is the hard thing for us to discuss, is as we have talked with those people in our church, those people that have left our church, and those people that had visited our church looking at our church as a possible landing space for their family, we came to discover that he was saying and doing things that I would not agree with as the pastor, as the under-shepherd of the church. And so we came to realize that a lot of damage was done.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are in a process of just moving forward. Same title, you know, this is pretty much why our podcast changed its name is, you know, you got to keep moving forward. We don't know if any of these people will come back. We don't know if some of these visitors, if they would ever give us a second chance now. But this is the thing, you know, you have to have these strong vetting processes. And then on top of that, I think the big thing is, you know, I had been raised in an area where elders were elders for life, just pretty much like a pastor is a pastor for life. And, you know, we've come to this realization that, nope, that ain't going to happen next time. We're going to have an elder serve a 2 or 3 year
like
period.
I think a person could serve in that role and then step down and then maybe at another time, if the door's open, they could serve again. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But not consecutively.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Like. So that's for us, I think that's the big thing right now. We want to be able to let our church heal. Right. It's been healing. I think if anything, God's grace has shown. If we go back to the last episode where we talked about, you know, our trustees didn't know if we were going to make it.
Right.
You know, we're seeing God work. We are partnering with some churches. We're going to be doing some things to really
kick up the structure.
Yeah, kick up the structure. Really challenge our people. That's right. One of the things I think that is going to be an interesting process for us.
So it's not a sense of adding more to the table.
Right.
It's a sense of doing what we do better.
Right.
You know, like we were talking about having, you know, sometimes small churches, they have a mentality of loosey-goosey. they have a mentality of, oh, this was grandfathered in kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as you grow, you have to tighten the reins.
Yep.
In a sense. So that people know exactly what's going on.
Right.
You know?
So I think that's been the biggest thing right now for us.
I think it's been a good lesson.
It is.
You know, it really has opened our eyes. You know, it's been a painful lesson because we love this couple very much.
Right.
You know, and as we heal, as our congregation heals, it's a thing of praying for the person.
Yep.
You know, daily praying for him.
And I'll say this, you know, when it came to those people in our church that had been abused, if you will, by this guy, that have stuck it around. Well, abuse is the wrong word, but they were there. They got blasted. There was one. I mean, we have one woman who works in our children's ministry who said she knows that, like, he came in there yelling at her to keep the kids quiet.
Right.
So it's an abuse of power, and you know that's why I use that term, but. It's like those people, we've loved them, you know, and we ask them, you know, why we ask these people, and this several of them, this, you know, why did you not come to us? Why didn't you come to me as the pastor? And a lot of people, they have said it, you know, they knew how close me and him were. There was the Catholic answer, as I said, where they thought that they don't question him as an elder, and you know, it becomes a thing of, okay, you know, I realize teachings that I'm gonna have to do. I've always been one of these people that tries to go through books of the Bible. We're going through Ephesians right now, and we try to go through the books of the Bible and everything, but I realize that there are points where I'm gonna have to go through and teach on a whole new level. Different things with these people. So it's a growing process for us and them and everyone else. And that's why we're talking, you know, have strong vetting processes.
Right.
You know what you're going to have to do. Sit these people down. Just because a person probably knows, even if the person knows Hebrew and Greek, I would not put them in a position until, you know, you have... you know, they're there for a long time.
Well, we're talking like...
Yeah, we're talking leadership, like upper leadership.
Yeah, right.
But
I think ultimately you have to let the Holy Spirit lead.
Right.
You know, because I've also heard of situations where a pastor favors certain people.
Yep.
And they don't see that person. They kind of look at them and they're like, I really can't see that person leading.
Right.
You know, and that person really is a strong believer. And they're excited to grow and, you know, everything. So you just really got to let the Holy Spirit lead and not let your own feelings too play too much into it, too.
Yep.
You know?
And I'll say this, you know, like, understand this. It's one thing because we're talking about a person... This last part has been a person in a elder, you know, deacon style position. Again, you're going to have people who are coming to your church who, you know, they're unsaved or they're a baby Christian, and I'll say this: their mouth is still a little salty. You know, let's call a spade a spade. Their mouth is still a little salty. The reason why I bring that up is because you can still put that person in a greeting role in a role that is not
AV kitchen. Yeah, you know.
Because I think back to Tom Rainer and his example. He talks about how he had this guy at his church who was a brand new Christian language. And he had to, like, speak to this person, and people were like, why are you putting this guy in charge? You know, why are you putting this guy in this role? And he, being a shepherd, you know, he knew that this guy needed this role. And over time, this guy's language changed. This guy eventually accepted Christ and everything else. And so that's what we have to do. We have to look at it in that role, that eventually a person is going to, you know, accept Christ. But, you know, we all weren't perfect when we first accepted Christ.
Right.
You know, there were changes that still had to go on, and that's what this is. It's an ongoing redemption process.
It's not like they have to. You have the vetting process, but you don't want the person to feel like they have to be perfect to your standards. Like, I'm not talking biblical standards. I'm talking they think they have to, like, prove themselves to you.
Right.
You know, so they feel like they're not good enough, and they want to serve, and you just don't give them that opportunity.
Right.
You know? Because I've seen it. I've seen people in all the years that I've been a believer, in all the churches that I've been to, I've seen people that were baby, that weren't Christians, but they were attending church, that were new baby Christians, and they were serving more than some of the members of the churches.
Yeah. And that's,
you know, and then you're scratching your head going, okay, you know, like, what's going on here?
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And that's the thing.
So it's a lesson. It kind of opens our eyes to, it's kind of like, it makes me think of how many times, you know, when you see some Christians and how they behave, you know, whether they're so gung-ho about the debates and how they feel and where they stand biblically, and to the point that they get very nasty. And they're not being ambassadors for Christ. They're not representing Christ. They're not showing the love of Christ. And then you have these non-believers that are looking at those people, those individuals, and saying, "I know my friend at work doesn't claim that they're a Christian, but they act more Christian than these people over here."
Right. Right.
So in the same way, I've seen it. People that want to jump right in and serve, and they just have that heart to serve.
Yep.
And they're like kind of still searching. They're still searching. They might be a brand new baby Christian. Yes, have that vetting process in place. But also let the Holy Spirit lead. Show them grace. You know, don't make them feel that, you know, if they make a mistake, oh, that's it.
Right. Right.
You know, a pastor's not perfect. A pastor's going to make mistakes. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he's, you know, should be removed as a pastor. You know, obviously it depends what, you know, but you understand what I'm trying to say. You know, it's a thing that we got to show them grace. Yes. You know, we got to teach them.
We got to show them grace. We got to show them grace, and we got to show them ways to serve.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, I went to an evangelism conference last week, and that was one of the things where that got discussed, that there's not enough people taking a person out and showing them. And if you have, like, a small way of doing that, you know, showing a person how to serve, even in small, tangible ways in your church, that speaks a lot, you know. Like I've heard it. What's the old saying now? 20% of the church does 80% of the work, and you know, I mean, yeah, we're a small church and everything, and you know, I think if we did the adults and then included some of the kids, you know, we have a high percentage. We have
people 80. Doing multiple positions, like two or three different ministries,
right. So that's the thing. You know, we have multiple people doing multiple things, and that's just, that, you know, I'm happy with that. I get excited by that fact for our church. So, all right. So any other points to wrap up with on this?
I think we did. I think we covered a good
portion.
Good portion.
Okay. So, and we just got that just a little over, but. Okay, so with that, this is Don McKinnon.
And Natalie.
And we're going to say, Pastor, just keep moving forward.